It said to you at the beginning of the Mass, expectations, how important they are. If we look at Thomas in the Gospel today and only look at this passage, we miss something that's been building in him for a while. Thomas is not an unbelieving person. He is a person that possesses great passion for the Lord. When everyone else was questioning Jesus' sanity about going to Bethany, which was so close to Jerusalem, after the Jews there had just threatened to kill him, Thomas is the one that says to all of the others, let us go and die with him. If he's going to Bethany, let's go with him and die with him. He's not a coward. He loves Jesus deeply. He desires to be with Jesus always. And the part in the Gospel of John later at the Last Supper, where Jesus is saying to his disciples, I am leaving. Where I am going, you cannot follow me now. And Thomas is like just beside himself. He says, why can we not follow you now? Jesus says, you know the way. Look, we don't even know where you're going. How can we know the way? Thomas loves Jesus. He does not want to be separated from him. He has expectations for this friendship. He has expectations for this relationship. The cross hurt Thomas. Jesus entered into what he was supposed to enter into. But clearly Thomas had other expectations. And those expectations were not met. Thomas is wounded. We hear it today. Others are saying that they've seen the Lord. He's like, I will not believe until I put my fingers in the nail marks in his hands. My hand in his side. I will not believe. Thomas is hurt. He's speaking from a place of hurt, of unmet expectation. Can you relate, my brothers and sisters? No, you don't have any expectations for God, do you? Year to year, we have expectations on God, let alone in our lifetime, we have expectations upon God. We all have expectations towards God. And just as Thomas, in his expectation, in his love, in his desire to be with Jesus, he is hurt and he is wounded. And the words of the Gospel today of him come from a wounded heart. It's really beautiful when Jesus appears a week later, right? So that would be Sunday evening of the second week, so the weekend that we're celebrating. Jesus shows up, peace be with you, right? And then he's like, Thomas, right? No one in the room has to say, hey, Jesus, you might want to go talk to Thomas. He's not feeling really good, and he's doubting that you've risen from the dead. Oh, really? Let me go over. He knows him. He loves him. Immediately, he goes to Thomas and says, Thomas, is this what you need to do? If you need to do this, then put your finger here. You want to put your hand in my side? Here. Caravaggio. Jesus has got him by the hand, and he's pulling his hand into his side. Jesus meets Thomas in his need. Do not persist, Thomas, in your unbelief, because you are missing out on joy. You're missing out on all of the good that will be a part of your life when you receive me and believe. Do not consist and do not persist in your unbelief, but believe. My Lord and my God. Amen, Thomas. Amen. It is so. It is true. But you know what? There are going to come others. There are going to come others who will never see my resurrected body as you have tonight. There will come others who, in the witness of the church, will come to believe, and in the encounter with the Holy Spirit will believe in their, and blessed will they be who believe without seeing what you have seen. Expectations, my brothers and sisters, expectations. This is the time that we had a beautiful retreat 4 or 5 years ago now, I'm sure. A priest from the East Coast came, all the priests gathered up in Atchison for the first week of June during our priest retreat, and he just poured over this Gospel of John. He opened it up, he cracked it open, and he was just over and over again. This season of Easter is about healing. It is about all of the wounds that the apostles have, the post-traumatic stress that comes to them from Jesus going to his cross and his passion, of entering in to the real life that was before them. The season of Easter was about healing those wounds, about speaking truth into them, about reconciliation, about mercy and forgiveness, so that they would be ready to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit and go. It's always confusing for me this time of year because the first reading, we look at it, and it's post-Pentecost. I mean, it's like Shangri-La. I mean, everybody's like selling stuff, and they're sharing stuff, and they're all living together, and they're like exulting in the meals, which I'm assuming they're talking about the celebration of Mass and the breaking of the bread and these kinds of things. There's all of these incredible things that are happening and going on. But this is post-Pentecost. We're not there yet. We're getting a glimpse of what will be. But my brothers and sisters, do not skip this season of Easter. This is the time for healing. This is the time when your expectations of God for this last year, you need to acknowledge them. You need to present them to Him. You need to say to Him, Jesus, I am hurt here in my life, and this hurt is keeping me from receiving your love. Anybody relating at all? My brothers and sisters, this is the time. There is an incredible outpouring, an incredible gift that God wants to give to us. You will not be able to receive and to renew yourself in that gift if you are hurt. If you are still mourning the expectation that Jesus did not meet for you, He loves you. Now is the time for mercy. Now is the time for reconciliation. Now is the time for all of that to be healed within us so that we can receive the gift that He wants to pour out. In living life, we can conclude that our God is crazy. Our God is broken. Our God hates us. In the living out of life, we can conclude that. In the circumstances of life, we can conclude that. For the apostles looking at Jesus and the destruction that He endured, they could conclude that about their Heavenly Father. Jesus takes these 40 days to speak to their hearts and say, you are wrong. You cannot interpret these things in that way. You have to see in these things love. And He opens the scriptures to them. And He explains everything that pertained to Him, so that they wouldn't be hurt and wounded, but they would be reconciled and healed, so that they could receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit and to go forth. There's incredible gifts for us, my brothers and sisters. I hate theme Sundays, okay? I just, there for a while, like, when I was early in the priesthood, it was like, oh, this is such and such a theme Sunday. This is such and such a theme. I'm like, is it in the readings? Am I going to slap some theme onto Sunday? Today is Divine Mercy Sunday, right? Yes. All right. Beautiful reading, speaking about mercy. Why do we have exultant joy? Because we've encountered His mercy. Why are we grateful and rejoicing in a way that is beyond that? The words that Peter uses in his letter are just absolutely amazing. Although you have not seen Him, you love Him. Even though you do not see Him now, yet believe in Him. You rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy as you attain the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. My brothers and sisters, we are living in this. This is the mercy that is ours. The wounds of Jesus remain open. I'm pointing at the Easter candle. All right? For all of those candles that they buy and they pay an extra $100 to get all this stuff slapped to the candle, I go cheap. But I go cheap for a reason, because the book says that we're supposed to cut into the candle. The candle is wounded with the wounds of Christ because the candle represents Christ. Chunks of incense are supposed to be touched in the flame and to burn and be inserted into the candle so that we see the five wounds that remain in the body of the resurrected Lord. So that we know that the gates of mercy are open. The gates of mercy are open for us, my brothers and sisters. Now is the time for mercy. The people in the first reading that are coming to faith and are being a part of the new community, they never followed Jesus. It is the witness and the example of the church and the Holy Spirit alive in the church that is giving them an encounter with the resurrected Lord. It is who we are supposed to be. But if we are miserable people who are hurt and wounded, we will not bear witness to the joy that is ours in Jesus Christ. Now is the time, my brothers and sisters. Now is the time. Did you know that the words of absolution changed? Did you know that? Well, you then said, well, don't, I'm not going to look at you if you don't know. How do you not know that the words of absolution changed? It changed on Ash Wednesday. Tomorrow's the last day that I can use the old ones before they become obsolete. My brothers and sisters, the mercy of God is open for us. Examine your hearts. Is there anger? Is there bitterness? Is there woundedness within you? Bring it to His mercy. Bring it to the altar. Ask for His grace to come upon it and transform it and change it. Because the wounds of Jesus are still open now. One day they will not be. When I say that, this dread falls over me of imagining a day in which the wounds of Jesus are no longer open to pour out mercy, when they're finally closed up, when all is done. But it is not today. Today we have mercy. Today we have compassion. Today the wounds are open for us to climb in and to find a place of refuge and hope. If we do this, my brothers and sisters, we will bear joyful witness to the glory of God. Not for some carrot dangling in the future, but we will know today concretely the truth, and we will enter into that truth in grace and in mercy. The people were in awe by the reconciliation to which the early church was living with each other and with the world. Why is not the world in awe of us anymore? Is something wrong with Jesus? No. Jesus is the same today as He was yesterday and will be forever. Enter in, my brothers and sisters. Enter fully into His mercy. Enter fully into His mercy. The joy of redemption, the joy of salvation is ours today in Him. Amen.